Your proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
Well, it has certainly been an interesting couple of days. And look, if you needed a reason, I mean, honestly, if you needed a reason to want to vote come November, I'll tell you, I'm looking at some of the insanity that we're seeing going there. There's a bunch of reasons why you should be active, checking your registration, making sure that you're eligible to vote. And then come November, getting out and marching to the polls and throwing a lot of these bums out, especially some of the insane responses we're seeing coming out of some of these senators like Orrin Hatch. Just mind-blowing to me. And here to talk about why we need and how and all of the push to get, at this point, Democrats elected to add some sanity to our government and some balance. I've got Nate Lerner on the line. He is the executive director of Build the Wave. You can follow them at Twitter at Build the Wave. Nate, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, I'm looking at all of this kind of insanity that we're seeing, you know, especially around this Supreme Court nominee. And, you know, comparing this to the recent poll that found that like only 28% of millennials plan to vote. And I'm going, really? Seeing everything going on in Washington, seeing what this administration's done, seeing this Supreme Court nominee, only 28%? Come on.
Yeah, that poll is very concerning. We've been pushing that pretty hard to folks to make sure that, you know, just because we've stopped so much from the Parkland kids and we've seen a lot of energy from students, that does not reflect the majority. And what it's going to take is getting out there and talking to students, talking to folks who are younger, having real conversations with them to make sure they understand the importance of this election and make sure they know what's going on, because a lot of them don't consume news the same way we do. They don't watch cable news. You know, they're not on Facebook. They're not on Twitter. They're on Instagram and Snapchat, and they're really not getting a lot of news that way. So it's up to us to make sure that they're informed and that they're voting, and that requires getting out, knocking doors, making calls, or sending texts, which is our favorite thing.
Yeah, good old-fashioned, old school organizing, going out and actually talking to people. And I know the electronic stuff, the text as well. But, you know, and I'm looking at this and going, how is it possible that, you know, you're not chomping at the bit, ready to throw some of these people out, especially, as I said, with some of the comments that have been coming out recently around the allegations surrounding Kavanaugh. I mean, you know, come on. I'm expecting Monday when if the hearings happen, if Kavanaugh doesn't withdraw by then, I'm expecting almost like another Anita Hill moment out of some of these Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, I was thinking about it earlier, and it really kind of hit me, you know, why don't Republicans just replace Kavanaugh with another conservative? You know, at the end of the day, their goal is not Kavanaugh, it's just to get a conservative on the bench. So they can have the moral high ground, they can do the right thing, they can respect the sanctity of our Supreme Court and of the rule of law in our country, get him out of there, put some other, you know, bum in there who's a conservative instead, and try to put him on the Supreme Court. But you know what? They won't, because they know that will make them look weak. They'll have to backtrack, and they might not get it done before the midterms, which could be really a nightmare for them if we take back the Senate. So they are rushing right now to get him in there. And it's just a complete disgrace and embarrassment, because they're going to put a man on there who was accused and likely committed sexual assault. And it's disgraceful.
Yeah, but, you know, even beyond that, I mean, all of the, you know, I talked to a friend this week who said, you know, my teenage, you know, son looked at them and said, you know, looked at Kavanaugh and said, you know, he's a real creeper. And you go, wow, virtual, you know, that visceral instinct that kids have right there in a very simple way. And this was even before the allegations came out. And, you know, I was saying the same kind of things, you know, looking at that moment where the father reached his hand out to shake hands with Kavanaugh, and the look of peasant, you don't matter, just kind of grabbed me as one of these moments going, this is not somebody that I feel comfortable even, you know, anywhere near the Supreme Court, let alone sitting on it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really been impressed with him. You know, if he's supposed to have this great, you know, record and this, you know, this impressive amount of experience, it hasn't been showing in his answers or in the way he's conducted himself, especially in light of these allegations. You know, he really does not stand out as a strong pick or someone who should be on the highest court in the land. And I don't understand why Republicans are standing so strongly behind him. And he's an embarrassment to them at this point. He was pretty disgraceful early on when he was saying that he wouldn't or when there was a lot of evidence that he, you know, that Trump had selected him because he wouldn't indict the president or call for an investigation and he would defend him. And, you know, now we're seeing the kind of character this man has. It's biting him in the ass as a result.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that gets me is, and you're right, it's all about, you know, not looking weak and not backing up as opposed to doing the right thing and doing your job. And I would, you know, are we really at that moment where it's just really about my team winning and me? Is it really that? Is that where we are right now?
No, I ask myself why. You know, what if Democrats, you know, somehow got a president in there like Trump, which I think we're a little too reasonable for that, but you never know. Is how would we be respond? And I think based on the way we responded with Al Franken, based on the way we responded with other Democrats in the past, you know, we hold our representatives and our leaders accountable, and we put country before party because we tend to be a bit more level-headed. We don't fall for the same kind of fake news, conspiracy theories that the Trump supporters do. And, you know, we're not that much better. It's just in our nature. And, you know, as a result, you're seeing extremism rise up in the conservative party much more so than on the left. And it's extremely dangerous. And at the end of the day, what matters is that, you know, our nation is unified and moving forward. But we just keep seeing division rearing its ugly head day after day.
So you're not buying the this Professor Ford came forward simply because she was angry that Kavanaugh's mother, the judge, threw her parents out of their house and foreclosed on them. You're not buying that, even though they didn't actually get thrown out of their house. It actually worked out in their benefit. But, hey, facts be damned. So you're not buying the conspiracy theory?
No, I'm not buying any conspiracy theory. I mean, everything is conspiracy theory with Republicans. You know, if it was up to them, this would be some large thing coordinated by – you know, Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Clinton to get this woman to come out. But no, you know, she's not someone who I think wanted to be in the spotlight. That's why she was anonymous at the beginning. That's why she didn't say anything early on. I don't think she's someone who wants to be receiving death threats right now, who wants to go down in the history books and forever be associated with this horrible incident that she's tried to move past. But I think she recognizes that as a woman, it's her responsibility to step forward and call him out, and that this is the time to do that. And I think it's extremely brave what she's done, and she should be applauded for that. And if I look at these two people, it's very clear which one of them is lying, and it's certainly not her.
So, you know, in looking at this, and you're someone who's been around a lot of campaigns over the years, you know, I said yesterday that it's my view that, you know, every Democratic candidate in this country should be using Orrin Hatch's statements that he found Kavanaugh to be honest and straightforward, and that Ford, you know, this Professor Ford, that there was some question of whether she was mixed up, which, you know, to me, that's, you know, that's almost a gift that you couldn't buy that kind of a gift.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we have to be careful. I think it's definitely a good way to mobilize folks on the left. And I think cumulatively it shows, you know, it really paints a poor picture of Republicans. When you look at all of their behavior day after day with Trump, with Kavanaugh, you know, with the investigations that we're seeing, with Puerto Rico, with the child separation, and you just see that there's not really a lot of moral fiber or backbone or character in the party. And combined, I think that's something that we should bring to voters and say, look, you know, this may not be on its own an issue you care about so much, but combined, it really shows you who this party is, what you're going to expect if you keep them in power for another 2 or 4 years. But I think we should still obviously talk about the issues that matter. But you know what? The Republicans aren't going to be the ones addressing those issues because they don't care about them. They're too busy doing stuff like this.
Yeah, and passing tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires.
Exactly.
Look, I mean, this is one of those times, and which is why it's distressing to me to see only 28% of millennials who are you know, planning the vote. The hope is that, you know, that they come around and that the rest of us do, because, you know, we're at a very, very interesting time in our country. I don't know that we've ever been more divided. I guess you go back to the Civil War, maybe much more divided then. But, you know, I look at this and we're at this really kind of crossroads moment. And I think this is one of those questions of who are we? Are we going to put this person on the Supreme Court with these allegations and all of the other questions, you know, just tons of questions about this judge's credibility? I guess this is one of those moments that historians will look back on, and which way we go will be kind of where the country goes.
Yeah, and that's you hit the nail on the head right there. It's really at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, you know, respect for our country, our institutions, for the Supreme Court, for morality, for the law of the land. And if you put this man in one of the highest positions of power in the nation, and he's going to be there for a decade, what does it say about your view of our country? What does it say about your view of all those things? It's nothing good. And that's why, at the end of the day, Republicans would be really smart to replace him with someone else, because they still get their conservative judge in there, but they just, you know, they can do that without tainting the Supreme Court and everything our country stands for, because it really, character, it still does matter. And, you know, what kind of message are you sending to the people of this country when you do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, if I were Trump, if I were one of the Republicans, I would be throwing, you dump Kavanaugh, you have him withdraw. Hey, you know, going to spend more time with the family. You know, I don't want this cesspool, whatever the argument is, you know, send him packing down the road and pull a woman off of that conservative list of what, 25 judges they had. There was a woman who was right at the top. That's what I would have done. Not that I want her. I think she's horrible on virtually every issue. But, you know, politically playing the game, that's what I would do.
Exactly, which is why it's so interesting. And it shows not only, you know, it shows that how little character they have, that they're more concerned with getting their way and getting their way before the midterm than doing what's right and sending a clear message to the country that they're going to stand up for what's right. But we've seen this time and time again with them, with the Me Too movement. You know, Democrats have been holding our folks accountable every single day. You don't see that on the right at all. And it's a clear message about where their priorities are. And they're much more focused on the short-term political gains than, you know, the bigger picture. And that's not how you lead a country.
I'll tell you, lead the country right into the ground. Get what I can now, because we won't be around much longer. And hopefully come November, a bunch of them will be on the unemployment line. But here's the thing. There's a lot of women running for office this year. You know, I look at this. You know, you got a guy in the White House who's been accused of, you know, what, 20 different women have accused him of sexual assault. You've got this guy. At some point, don't the women who are the majority of this country go, you know what, you guys over on the right, you guys have screwed things up too much. We're gonna go this way for a bit. Do you see a huge swing in women voting for Democrats, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to be turning out more. You're also seeing women being, you know, historically more involved than ever. Our organization has sent 750,000 text messages for a variety of candidates, especially those in the recent special elections. And the majority of our volunteers are women, you know, who are just absolutely disgusted with what they're seeing. And they're older women who haven't been involved traditionally as much in politics. You know, they were reliable Democrats, but they never invested too much time in volunteering and donating and in getting involved. But they've just been so disgusted by what they've seen that they have refused to stand on the sidelines and do nothing. And they have taken so much action that it's absolutely outstanding. And what's going to happen is that you're going to see across the country, you're going to see women and Democrats and young folks getting more involved than ever before. And that kind of energy is what is going to build the wave. It's not just the sentiment of voters. It's the energy in our base getting out and taking action and doing more to make sure that we turn out our base. And I would definitely encourage folks to go to buildthewave.com if they're interested in learning more about what we're doing to build the wave and how to send text messages with us for Democrats.
And to stay active and engaged. Because, look, I'm a big fan of participatory democracy, more direct action, more people involved, you know, doing, you know, the door knocking and the face-to-face stuff, all of that. But also making sure our representatives know that they're actual people who care about what they're doing. And I got to think that this is going to be one of those moments when we look back at on November 7th, when the results come in, of this being a key component to what happens in November.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a historic number of women elected to Congress, you know, a historic number of minorities as well. And that's really a good thing, because when you look at D.C. right now, it's always frustrating to see the sea of old white men. You know, I think it's fine to have some old white men in there, but I think we need a Congress that, you know, literally it's in their name, their representative, that is actually representative of our country. And, you know, it'd be nice to see, and especially, you know, these guys have been running our country in the ground long enough. You know, it's going to be exciting to get some new blood in there, some fresh faces, some fresh ideas, and some new energy, and a wide array of experience, too. I think we have too many folks who just, you know, are lawyers. And, you know, now we're seeing a historic number of veterans running, a historic number of educators running, and scientists, and folks with a really wide variety of backgrounds. And I think that's going to bring a whole new voice to our democracy. and all we have to do is get them in the office, and I'm confident that's going to happen, but not so confident that I'm not going to be working my butt off every day to make sure it does, and I'm sure you know, a lot of folks on the left will be doing the same.
No, you guys are doing fantastic work, and I encourage people to go to your website, buildthewave.org, to make sure that you maybe sign up, get make a donation, because at the end of the day, it's about the money. But here's the thing that gets me. One of the first things I saw against this Professor Ford is that she gave $72 to the DNC and the Democratic candidates.
Yeah, she's a big spender. Yeah, I got to look out for that. You know, I think this is the ultimate Trump defense, is that if someone attacks him, you know, calls him out on using facts and the truth, he says they are biased because they're partisan views. You know, it is possible, you know, as a human to have views that are not impacted entirely by, you know, where you stand politically, to feel or think something or believe something and not have it be influenced by the fact that you're a Democrat or Republican. And I think this woman can absolutely come forward and accuse Kavanaugh of assaulting her when they were younger and not be influenced by politics. And you know what? What's interesting is when you look at Roy Moore, the majority of women who came out and accused Roy Moore were Trump supporters. This is an issue that goes beyond politics. Yep. It goes to morality and the core of who we are as humans and as Americans. And it's beyond frustrating that Republicans don't seem to recognize that. And yeah, they dismiss it as, you know, this vast liberal conspiracy. And it's really shameful and disgraceful to see.
No, you're right. I mean, did they learn nothing from Roy Moore? And the answer, evidently not. Last question. Monday, do we expect Monday to happen? And if so, who's going to be the one who gives the Arlen Specter moment?
You know, I think it certainly will. It looks like there are enough Republican senators who at least are willing to give her a chance to be heard, which is actually a little refreshing to see. I wish there were certainly more. I don't want to predict anything too soon. I think, you know, hopefully Jeff Flake will continue to be a strong voice. This would be an opportunity for Susan Collins as well to assert herself a little bit. You know, she's been very strong in women's issues in the past, not so much with Kavanaugh, but this could be a chance for that to change. There's been a lot of pressure on her. But I think, you know, this is an opportunity for Democrats too to really stand up and call out Republicans on the hypocrisy of all this and the way they're just looking the other way. You know, this is a party that has just continuously turned a blind eye to so much misbehavior, not just from Trump, but his administration and their own party members. And it's just, you know, they used to be so much about the moral high ground, and now they just have no more integrity in their party and are just looking to get short-term political gain.
Well, we'll see how this plays out. I'm hoping Kavanaugh withdraws before the hearing so that this woman doesn't have to go through the grilling that I fear is going to come and the attacks that I fear is going to come. But we will see. But, Nate, I appreciate the time. I hope folks will check out the website, buildthewave.org. You can also follow Nate at Nate Lerner at Nate Lerner.
And Nathan Lerner, yeah.
At Twitter there. Nate, I appreciate it. Always good talking with you. I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.